everybody, to our Wednesday night service. We are so excited that you are worshiping, if I could talk, worshiping with us digitally, and we are excited to get into worship tonight. So gather together with your families, and let's worship the Lord.
Is my confidence, you'll never Church. Thank you, Sister Fiona. There's just a few of us here, but boy, you can sure feel the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Pray that you've all had a blessed day today and a beautiful day. Wasn't it just a beautiful day out today? We have a few announcements here since I'm the MC and also going to be speaking here shortly. Have a few announcements. We had planned on having a missionary this weekend and things were going well until they got stuck in Tennessee. So they're on a lockdown there. Not for sure if it's a lockdown or just a shelter-in-place order. But nevertheless, they're not going to be able to be here with us this weekend. So I can certainly understand that. But we will still have a missions offering on Sunday. We're going to go ahead and take an offering for them. Also, we have our 10 o'clock Sunday morning service, which will be here online at Calvary Gospel Church. And in lieu of our missionary that's not going to be with us, we have an evangelistic team that's going to be here and going to be preaching the Word of God for us. It's going to be Sister Lindsay Simmons and her husband Jerry. So we're excited about that. We're going to just resume right with some of our normal scheduling because things are just going to continue as normal, I guess, as much as normal can be. But also we have our 1 o'clock VOSIS UNITAS service here, so you can tune in for that at 1 o'clock. And then also we have our 5 p.m. service, which is our African International. I talked with Brother Claude just a little while ago, and things are going very well with the African International. And he's excited. He sent me over an email, and I attempted on Sunday to make this announcement, but we had some live streaming issues, and I said, I'll just catch it at our next service. So Brother Claude has been working with the network where that they are bringing over foreign exchange student teachers from Africa primarily Rwanda, and then also Burkina Faso, which is his home country. So these students, they're student teachers. They will be arriving here in the States late spring, early summer. And we're looking for homes for them to be able to stay in. What they're looking to do is they're looking to connect with them through African International. So they will be hopefully attending our African International services. And we're trying to just help them to assimilate themselves into American culture. And they would like for them to be around people that speak English, of course, to help them with their English, because they're going to be going back to their foreign countries and going to be teaching. So if you're interested in this, now we understand that we're under a pretty much a worldwide pandemic with this virus. So we're not just jumping into this or expecting people to invite people into their homes without any background or without any checks or anything like that. So we've been assured by the my brother Claude and the group that he's working with that they're going to make sure all of those things are taken care of prior to these folks arriving here into our homes, but also into our country. So if you're something you're interested in, please let us know. I know we had a number of years back here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've had some foreign exchange students that attended our Christian school. Some of you may remember Sister Sheila that received the Holy Ghost and was baptized before she went back to China. We've just heard from her this past week, and she's doing fine and all is well. And she's very safe where she's at there in China. So you can continue to pray for her. But nevertheless, just excited about what God is doing. Next, we have some options for online giving. We would normally be taking up an offering during this time. You could go ahead, and if you would like to, option number one is if you'd like to just place your cash or check in an envelope and drop it by the church, you're certainly welcome to do that. You can give online at cgcmadison.org. Or you can text to give at 608-719-3883. I've had a number of people call me this past week saying, hey, how can I get on for that text to give? So you can do that, and you would that'll walk you through the process. You can just type in tithes, offering, missionary. So Sunday morning, if you'd like to give for a missionary, you can just type in missionary, and it will go to our missionary, Monty Showalter and his wife. And or you can, if we had a special speaker, you could just type in speaker. So that's how we do the giving options here at Calvary Gospel Church. And at your homes right now, I don't know exactly how you're having church tonight. If you've got a group of people over, perhaps family members, or maybe even some guests, some neighbors, some friends. But at this time, we're just going to take a few moments to just allow you to have a little bit of a handshake fellowship there in your home. We assume that everyone is safe and sanctified if you're in your home. So we have some hand sanitizer here, but God bless you. We'll be back in a minute or so and resume our service. God bless. Praise the Lord again, church. I just want to share before we get started into our message this evening. I just want to share. We've just had so many awesome things that have been happening. We've been having some of our saints, they've been able to have prayer meetings at their work. Some things that were never had the ability to do before. We'll be sharing a little bit more details as some of these details are made available. But just continue to pray for one another. So we've been having some prayer meetings at work. We've been being able to take, and people have been able to witness at a level that they've never been able to witness at before. It just kind of seems like as the country is going through this crisis that that people are indeed looking for answers. And they're looking for something that is going to give them that strength to carry them through. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I've got a very simple message here. Nothing that's complicated. But I want to just, over this past week, I was just going through. I have a number of daily devotions that I go through every day and such. And I ran into one that just really kind of hit me. So I just want to title tonight's message, We're All in the Same Boat with Jesus. And reading tonight from Matthew chapter 8, this is the New International Version of this. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. This is something that no doubt the disciples had done many, many times with Jesus. This was not something, it was the first time, wasn't any new thing. He got into the boat and the disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But he was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, Ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds, rebuked the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? I wish to remind you tonight about the time that Jesus, his disciples, were afraid that their boat might sink. Now, I've heard all different messages on this passage over my lifetime, 57 years old. I've probably heard hundreds, if not thousands, of messages over the years about Jesus in the boat and about how the disciples were afraid, and we've heard all different types of messages, and I'm not here to just kind of sort out all the details and all the different scenarios about the disciples and Jesus and what this may mean and all of this, but the bottom line was very simple. They were living life as they had always lived life. It wasn't any different than any other day. They were on a body of water that they were always on. I don't recall any other place in the scripture that we've ever heard of the disciples fishing other than the Sea of Galilee. So every time they went fishing, it was on the Sea of Galilee. And every time they went out in their boats, it was no doubt their same boats. They were men of routine, and they would go to their same fishing holes, and it was pretty much the same day in and day out, week after week after week. But this one time, life got out of control. And over the past few weeks, I'm sure many of us tonight have felt like life has got out of control. It may be a novelty for a few days, for a week, but as weeks are going to probably drag into perhaps a month or more, that sometimes it feels like the news updates are coming every few minutes. You look on the news and what was just happened a half hour to an hour ago is all changed and it's all different. When we give so much attention to events that are beyond our control, we can lose sight of the power that we still have with us, within us, and around us. And no doubt the disciples, as they were out there that day, like any other day, and things begin to unravel and fall apart around them, they had the power and all the authority that they ever needed right there with them, sleeping in the boat. So we can choose, church, how we respond to our circumstances. We can choose to respond to the storms around us. And perhaps even more important, even in the midst of those circumstances, circumstances that are totally beyond anyone's control, we can choose how we act, and we can choose how we react. We can choose to love one another, encourage one another, support one another, or we can choose to criticize, get angry, get frustrated, get mad. But the important part, the important thing is no matter what happens around us, it's important that we point each other back to Jesus. You see, we're not in this alone. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same body of water. We're all in it with each other. And Jesus is in the boat. It may feel like where you are right now that perhaps Jesus has fallen asleep and he's asleep at the wheel. But trust me, even though we may think that God is taking a nap, he is still very much in control. And as all it took was his disciples to wake him up and say, Jesus, are you paying attention to what's going on around us? And what did Jesus do? He just got up simply, got up, no doubt looked at the fear in their eyes, and looked out at the storm. All he had to say was, peace, be still. And the storm ceased. I believe today, in the midst of all of what is going on around us, that Jesus is calming the storm. I've made a number of observations this past week. One of the observations that I've made is how much that we as a church body is showing our love and how much we care one for another. I'm very thankful for what is happening around us as far as our church body goes. People are encouraging. I'm reminded of a passage of scripture that is found in the book of John, John chapter 13. The question was asked, how will you know if you're a disciple or a follower of Jesus? And Jesus responded this, that you love one another as I have loved ye, that you also love one another. People are going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ if you love one another. When you look at love, love can be a bit difficult at times. Love can be odd. Love can be frustrating. It can express itself in many ways. It said that each person has his or her own love language, and there have been books that have been written about various love languages. And Jesus stated in John that as the body of Christ, the body of believers, how will the world know what your love language is? It will know what your love language is and how you love, take care, encourage, respect one another. And I wish to express my sincere thanks as to how many, so many of you here at Calvary Gospel Church over the past few weeks have gone out of your way taking care of one another, checking in on one another, encouraging one another. Church, we have our own love language, just as people have their own love language. And I just want to share with you just a few simple things that we can continue to do as a church, but not just as a church one to another, but as a church, how we can reach out and how we can be a light into the world around us. The longer that this goes on, the longer that this carries in to our lives and affects our lives, the harder it's going to be for people to deal with this. And I just want to just share with you four simple ways that we can choose to love one another, but not just love one another, but to love those around us in the world in which we live in. Number one is just encourage one another. I think encouragement is such a huge thing. We live in such an incredible time, and even when we can't be physically present with one another, we can still call one another on our cell phones and our text messaging and emails, connecting on social media. We have the church connecting online right now, and And this past week, I connected with a group of men from the church on an app called Marco Polo. Remember, as kids swimming in a swimming pool playing Marco Polo, and here we have an app called Marco Polo, and such. But it's just been that little bit of a tag in, that little bit of finding out about Pastor Phil's Lego empire in his lair that he has in his basement. But when we look at one another, and if we look carefully into the New Testament, we would find out that the New Testament is full of one another's. And so you may ask yourself here tonight, what do you mean by a one another, Pastor? Well, a one another is the Bible's commands regarding how that we are to treat one another as the body of Christ. We spoke Sunday about the body of Christ and how that the body of Christ, how it cannot be shaken. We have commands that are found in the New Testament, such as loving one another and to honor one another and to forgive one another and to comfort one another and to serve one another and to bear with one another and encourage one another. And one of the reasons why the church can be so powerful and cannot be shaken is because of one another's encouragement. So encouragement was and is an essential way of extending our grace towards one another. It's also a way for you as a person, as a Christian, to grow and mature in Christ. You may say, well, I don't know, what does encouragement have to do with growing and maturing in Christ? If you are an encourager and you're able to encourage one another, you are mature as a Christian. So when we look at how do I grow in being an encouragement one to another, there isn't only one right way to encourage each other. There are a few ideas that I'd like to share to help you get started. You may look at yourself and say, well, I'm really not much of an encourager. Well, I'm going to pray that God would make you an encourager. And you need to pray that God would make you an encourager. You need to ask Him to give you the heart that loves others and be creative to know how to show that love one to another. You need to ask God to help you to die to self-centeredness and to grow in a desire to build others up. I know of people that love to just tear other people down. I am so very, very frustrated watching the news that comes out of our capital in Washington as we have the two major political parties fussing and fighting over how best to take and save the country that we're in. I just want to let Washington know that we really don't need you to save us. You're the ones that need saving by looking at the way that you behave yourselves. I hate to say that, and I don't want to get all political here tonight, but we live in a country that is beyond broken. Nobody knows how to encourage one another anymore. Just because it wasn't my idea doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. We need to grow up. You hear that, Washington? Grow up. You see, God delights in helping His people to obey His commands so we can trust in His Spirit to teach us how to bless others for His glory and for His spiritual good. When we look into the New Testament, we find the story of Paul and Barnabas. And when you look at Barnabas, Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was the one that encouraged Paul and had a great deal to do with how Paul grew up and matured as a Christian. Also, Barnabas, his nickname was son of encouragement by the early church. He was the kind of guy that you wanted to have around as you were serving the Lord. Now, I could look across our congregation, and even though you're not sitting here tonight, I can look across the congregation, and I can see where you would be sitting, and we have a number of encouragers in our congregation. And I'm thankful that we have encouragers in our congregation. But you have to understand, we are not just spiritual cheerleaders. I'm not just talking about spiritual cheerleading. I'm talking about how to come in and partner up and help and work and become a part of another person's life. You see, when we look at Barnabas, Barnabas became a part of Paul's life. He was a vital part of Paul's life. And we need to ask God to give us a heart like Barnabas had. We need to have a heart of encouragement. As we go to our jobs and as we work our day, and I was talking with Brother Claude earlier, and Brother Dennis is here tonight running the sound, and they're driving the Madison Metro buses, and they can only have 15 people on a bus at a time, and people getting on their buses, and they're fearful about what is happening around us. 2 weeks ago, none of this was happening, and all of a sudden, our entire lives are thrown into chaos and people are afraid, but it's a time where we can come in church and we can become a Barnabas. We can be an encourager. Also, we need to make encouragement part of our daily discipline. It's one thing to we want to discipline ourselves every day to read our Bibles. We've talked about that, reading the Word every day, praying the Word, living the Word. It's important that as much as reading our Bible is a daily discipline, as much as prayer is a daily discipline, we need to make encouragement a daily discipline, something that you do every day. Now, I'm gonna lay this out here. For some of us, encouragement comes naturally. For others, not so much. And I have a reminder that every day to send someone an encouraging note. I've spent far more time on my cell phone over the last 2 weeks than I have over probably the last 2 months. But most of what I'm doing is sending text messages, sending emails, sending messages to brothers and sisters all over Madison, all over Dane County, but also pastors that I know that are struggling in their churches, and not everything is going as they would like it to go, and such. So I need this reminder that every day I need to encourage someone. I need to make that call. I need this reminder to pause and to pray and then intentionally try to encourage someone in Christ. You may say, well, you know, I'm not a real social. I know I have spoken in times past about a distaste for social media, and I still have a distaste that we have to do everything via social media right now. Social media can be very good and it can be very bad, and I think I've made myself clear on my point on that. You need, if you don't have anybody to encourage, then you need to pray and you need to ask God to put someone in your day that you can encourage. You may say, well, you know, I'm stuck at home. What can I do from home? You can call someone. You can get out your pen and paper. If you don't, I got a very nice card today for Brother and Sister Parker, Rufus and Pam Parker in La Crosse. A very encouraging card. just letting me know that they're praying for us here in Madison. And if there's anything that they can do to help, to please give them a call. You know what that does? That just lifts up your spirits. You need to pray, say, God, bring someone into my mind that I can reach out to and that I can encourage. One way that we can do is by praying that we would connect. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, we have a number of ministries. And you can pray through the people that you're connected with in ministry here at church. You can pray for those that you minister with. So even though we're not having Sunday school right now, you can pray for our Sunday school staff, that our Sunday school staff, as we get deeper into this mess that we're in, that they can be a light and encourage the families of Calvary Gospel Church. Use scripture if you're able to. Nothing encourages us like promises from God's word. Make a list of scriptures that God has used to bless you personally and exert something into your daily devotion that you read, that if you read some kind of a daily devotion, that you'd be able to take that daily devotion and you would be able to take and spread it with other, share it with other people. When you read through the Psalms and you read through the Gospels, there's all kinds of powerful, what I just call God nuggets. Nuggets of God's grace and God's power and God's strength, His healing, and share it with others. But be specific. You don't have to be so generic that people don't even understand what you're trying to say. Be specific. Encouraging words. As I said, I received that letter from Brother and Sister Parker, and those were words that I really needed to hear. When I read them, I was humbled. I was very humbled, and it reminded me of the fact that God actually does care. And God actually can work through us. In these trying times, instead of playing the blame game, it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter whose fault or where or whatever. It's just irrelevant at this time. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for the task force that he's appointed to help us through this crisis, because decisions that they make affect us. You don't think it matters that decisions they make affect us? That's why there's only six of us here right now, because decisions that were made affect us. So we better pray for them. We better pray that God would give them wisdom and God would give them understanding to lead this country and to lead our state, lead our local, our mayor, all the way down. I'm so blessed here at Calvary Gospel Church to have such a great team of pastors around me. And I'm just thankful. Our last staff meeting, everything was online, and it was one of those video chat things, which I don't want to say I hate them, but I don't like them. I like talking to people. I hate this tonight. I don't hate, okay? Please understand. I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit. I don't like speaking to an empty sanctuary when you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of people that would normally be here. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to preaching to small crowds. We have no crowd here tonight, other than our tech people hiding in the back that you can't see, and they're all giving me the high five right now. But I'm so thankful for all of our pastors, as we talked about how to navigate through the next week. We're just taking this one week at a time, church. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I'm so thankful that we have Pastor John Seidel, and that we have Pastor Jessica Rivas and Pastor Phil Demas and Pastor Jerry Simmons and Pastor Peter Sandin and I'm so thankful that we have this team. I'm so thankful that we have a bishop and that we have an elder and brother and sister Caskey. And listen, it's times like this when it's tough. It's tough. We had to make a lot of decisions that affect a lot of people. It was tough today coming in our child care center, Kids Depot. We finally ended up having to close, and you've got 15 teachers, and you've got their families, and we have all of the children, and you have to make decisions that you don't want to have to make. You wish you didn't have to make them, but nevertheless, encouragement. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. If you encourage a pastor, we appreciate it. If you're involved in a ministry and you have a pastor over you that oversees that, just send them a little thank you note. Let them know that you appreciate the prayers that are going out for you and your families. Just a little note. Don't always expect a call back. When you encourage one another and you encourage a brother or a sister, don't always expect somebody to write you back with the big long thank you note. Just send a few lines, perhaps, in a card or an email. But over these past weeks, it's been difficult. And I just ask you that you pray that God would help create a culture of encouragement in your life. That your family could be a family of encouragement. Ask God to help our church in this time to be an encouraging beacon of hope to our community. Community that loves each other and that we care for one another. And ask God to use you as an individual. We talked about how that God, every one of us has a purpose, and God has a plan for our lives, and sometimes we struggle with what that purpose or what that plan is. But right now, our purpose should all be to encourage one another and to encourage our friends and our neighbors and people that we work with. You think about this. Ask you this question right now. Who can you encourage right now? Who has blessed you recently that you can thank? I received a call today from a gentleman that I've known for some time, but Brother Jim Rivas at Excel Electric, and I'm just using this as an example because it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And this gentleman needed some electrical work done, and Brother Jim sent Brother Carl Grant over, and Brother Carl was over there for some 30-plus hours a week or so ago helping with some electrical things and doing some work in their home. And this gentleman called me today and just said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for Jim Rivest and Carl Grant. And he just went on and on and on and on and on about how amazed he was at Brother Carl Grant's testimony. How encouraged he was as he listened to Carl, as Carl began to just be an encouragement to this man. His wife is recovering from breast cancer, and it's her second time around, and it's just been a difficult go for this couple. But you see, as we close out, we never know when we're an encouragement to someone how far-reaching that this can be. As we close here tonight, and Sister Fiona can come, biblical encouragement always points us to God. We look at motivational posters. You can go on Pinterest, and my word, there's all kinds of stuff, that encouraging statements and all of this and that. motivational posters point us, most of them, to look within. To dig deep, find inner qualities of perseverance, determination, courage from within is what a lot of motivational posters will tell us. But biblical encouragement has a totally different focus. You see, when we look at biblical encouragement, it comes alongside to call us to look back to God, to look back to His promises, to trust His faithfulness, because ultimately both our strength to keep going and our greatest encouragement comes from none other than God Himself. I like what Paul declares in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, the storms are just swirling around us. Your storm may be different than my storm, but we're all in the same boat. And it's times like this that we need to just point each other back to Jesus, because it's Jesus who calms our storms. It's Jesus who has the ability to stand up and look out across and say, "Peace, be still." And the storm is calmed. But it's up to us. It's up to us, church, to remind each other of God's promises and to pray one for another. Just remember that no matter what we may be going through, we're all in this together. We all live on the same planet. We all breathe the same air. Jesus said that in this life you're going to have troubles, but He gave us His Spirit, and He gave us each other, and those two things are more than enough. Sister Fiona, would you lead us in a song before we close out in prayer?
Heaven.
praise the Lord again, church. I just want to remind fathers this week to continue declaring Psalms 91 over your families, over your household. And we're just going to say a prayer here in dismissal. And I just want to pray for each one of our families. And the fathers, if you're there in your living rooms, if you're a family, if you could just join hands. I know we have a lot of folks that are by themselves, no doubt. Even though you may be alone, you're not really alone. There's just such a sweet spirit, such a sweet presence in this place. Lord, I pray, God, for every one of my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon our families, on each and every person that's listening to us this evening. God, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon us as we navigate through these difficult days. Lord, you never promised that things would be easy. But God, you're always here. You're always by our side. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us could be an encouragement to those around us. Lord, I would hate to know what it would be like to go through life without feeling the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in my life. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would encourage each and every one of us, each and every person that's listening tonight. God, I ask you that your hand would be upon them, that you would lead them, guide them, direct them. Connect us, Lord. Connect us, Lord, with those that need encouragement. Help us to be a light. Help us to be a beacon of hope in a world, God, where hope is few and far between. I pray, God, that your power and your presence would be upon us. You would lift us up. Move us, guide and direct us over these next weeks and months. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. Bring peace into our households. In the name of Jesus that we pray. We pray. Amen. Perhaps you're listening tonight and you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost being a comforter. The Holy Ghost is the power of the Almighty God residing inside of a human body. It's an awful experience. I just want to encourage you to repent. One of America's biggest problems is our pride. One of the biggest problems of our world is our pride. We saw how fast the world can be brought to its knees. We feel that because we're going to get a $2-4 trillion bailout that it's going to fix all of our problems. No. You can't go into more debt to get yourself out of debt and to fix problems. This doesn't work that way. We're in a real mess. We need to just fall on our faces in repentance. Crying out to God. I pray, Lord, that America would turn around from our wicked ways, that we would repent as a nation. I'm not just rambling here at the end of a message, church. This is we're in a mess. It's not getting any better. I just pray that as we repent, what did Peter, when the men stood there that day and asked Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? after they were pricked in their hearts, they felt conviction in their heart. And Peter said, repent and then be baptized. The Bible speaks in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. We're putting in a new baptismal tank, church. It's much larger. Our other one had some issues, but baptizing in Jesus' name, going down into a fully immersed, coming out of that water, symbolic of being buried with Christ. And then the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want to say, why would God choose tongues as a way? Well, He gave us a word. He gave us a Bible, His word. And we can all share it. We can all speak it. We can all read it. He didn't charge us money. It wasn't money. It wasn't about social status. He gave us something that we all have, the ability to speak. So the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's a language that you've never learned, never heard of before, but it's a heavenly language because it's a language coming from God. And it's powerful. It's incredible. If you have any questions and you're watching this, feel free to give our church a call. If you want to know more about biblical salvation, we're willing to share with you. With this, it's been great to be here this evening. Miss you all, love you all. Kind of my little statement, I guess, at the end of every message is I just encourage you to be safe. They already know what's coming in the back. Be safe, stay safe, church. Be sanctified and, yes, sanitized. God bless you all. We'll be back here Sunday morning. Brother Jerry and Sister Lindsay Simmons will be speaking to us. I'm excited about what they have to share with us. God bless you all and have a blessed week.